Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Darlene Netko. I live in Ward 7. I'm a lifelong resident of Warwick. I graduated from Warwick Public Schools. I teach in Warwick Public Schools. I've been teaching English for 34 years, and I'm president of the Warwick Teachers Union. So as I speak here, I also represent 900 of my members. I am in favor of this bond going to the General Assembly to put in front of the voters. I would first like to answer some questions that earlier speakers posed about why, if proving, you know, that our status in the state might improve. How can we prove that that might happen? Well, during the budget hearings, our school administration explained how we have adapted all new curricula from grades K through 12 for English, ELA, math, science, and so on. We also have implemented, after we had eliminated progress monitoring and screening tests and protocols for grades K through 12. And these progress monitoring tools and screening tools will ensure that students' progress is monitored and students who need interventions will get it. There was a comment about the amount of money per student that Warwick spends. Don't forget, Warwick pays Social Security. Not every district in the state pays Social Security. There's also a comment about the teacher to pupil ratio. That's not just teachers in a classroom. We have many classrooms that are at the maximum of 26 students per teacher. Some are over up to 27, 28, 29 students per teacher. But we also have special ed classrooms where there might be two teachers and nine students plus teacher's assistants. So we also have psychologists, social workers, OTs, PTs, speech, guidance, nurses. These professionals are not necessarily in the classroom every day with students, but the FTEs count when you're calculating pupil to teacher ratios. So I just wanted to clarify a few things that our district has tightened the belt. I mentioned during the budget hearings, this city, through what it did 10 years ago, owes the schools about $65 million, and that's not even talking about the bonds. I teach in a school without windows. During the pandemic, that school could not open safely. The district put air purifiers in the room so we could open safely. These schools are 50 and 60 years old. Pilgrim sinking. Tollgate has no windows. Even when the school was 10 years old, the roof was leaking tar on me as I sat in my physics 2 honors class. You have to put money toward our students' education. If you build the schools, students will come back. Right now, we're not losing students to charter schools. We're losing them to other public schools in the state because of the Pathways program. We're losing them to North Kingston. Guess what? North Kingston has a newer school than we have. These schools need to be 21st, if not 22nd century schools at this point. We don't have the Wi-Fi, the electrical, the space that students need in order to be educated in 21st century ways. If we don't do this now, when the state is willing to pay some money into it, then when are we going to do it? Our district has been doing a good job of getting grants for curricula, for technology, for cameras, for security, for various reasons. When our district is ready to educate the public, if this goes before the General Assembly and the General Assembly agrees for it to go on our ballot in the fall, the district is ready to educate the public. This has been a process right from the start. The school department hired a planner. The planner held meetings. The entire city council, the mayor, the school committee, everyone was involved in these planning sessions. Then we had a pandemic, so the big public forums that were supposed to happen didn't happen, although the school committee did broadcast school committee meetings at which the planner spoke. The planner came up with a couple of ideas to refurbish schools. RIDE rejected them. We have to go with what RIDE approves. RIDE approved these two schools. And as far as the idea that we should only do one school, which school are you going to do? Where's the equity if you build a new toll gate and not a new Pilgrim, or you build a new Pilgrim and not a new toll gate? And if you build a new Pilgrim, what are Potawatomi kids going to do? Spend all day on a bus to get to school? And if you build one new school, what are you going to do? Put 2,400, 2,600 kids in it? That isn't educationally sound in this day and age. So I urge you to please vote to send this resolution to the General Assembly. You put it on the ballot and you let the voters decide. And you give the school committee the opportunity to educate the voters by the time the vote rolls around in November. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Robert Cushman, former Warwick City Councilman, former member of the school committee. Couple observations first. When's the best time to have a tax increase? And I'm just asking that rhetorically. I'm not asking that to you. But gas is at $5 a gallon. We have food. Inflation's out of control. We couldn't do a reval this year. The city council and the mayor delayed the reval this year because they thought that the taxes that were going to increase on some homeowners were going to be too large. When we look at the city budget over the last 5 years, we've increased spending by $34 million. 4 to 5 years, we didn't have a tax increase. And I'm not up here advocating for a tax increase. But the fact of the matter is that if you're going to spend $34 million more in 5 years, you probably should have raised taxes. Because what's going on here is you're setting up the taxpayers in the city for a massive supplemental tax increase. In 2021, we didn't balance our budget. We had an $8.5 million structural deficit. We used money from the surplus. We used other one-time revenue to balance the budget. It got worse in fiscal 22. We had $11.4 million structural deficit. We took half of that from the rainy day fund. We took money from the American Rescue Plan. This budget that was just passed this year, a couple weeks ago, we have a $10.8 million structural deficit due to American Rescue Funds. That's one-time money to pay for stuff that reoccurs within the general budget. And then in addition to that, we're going to sell some property. Hopefully, we're going to get $4 million. That's one-time revenue. So we have a 14.8 structural deficit in the next year's budget starting July 1st. So what that means is that hopefully, according to the administration, they put, if this happens and that happens, they think things are going good. The structural deficit they're saying is really only $7 million. In my book, it's 14.8. That's what's on paper. So when's the best time for a tax increase? It wasn't the last 4 out of 5 years. It's not this year. But yet we're talking about borrowing $350 million over the next few years. And when you look at the fiscal note here, it's showing a massive increase, worst case scenario. And even the best case scenario, I started looking at it. This document just came out, I think, today. Some of the assumptions to me are unrealistic in the growth of the expenses. The city and the school budgets combined are growing by about $10 million a year. And I think one of the things that we have to talk about to afford new schools, and I'm all for new schools, the thing is, we need to get our financial house in order. You don't build an addition on your house when you can't even pay off your credit cards or your monthly mortgage. Where's the shared sacrifice, not only from the taxpayers, because the taxpayers are going to be the only ones that have to pay this bill. I've looked at the city and the school budget, and 42% of our tax dollars, $98 million a year, go towards health care and pension benefits. This is between the city and the school. 42%. Think about that for a second. In 10 years, $1 billion is spent on benefits, healthcare, and pensions between the city and schools. And these are top-of-the-line benefits. Let's just say we can get a 10% savings, and I know it's been talked about. That's $10 million a year. You could build a school. That's not out of the questions. The fact of the matter is we're not even broaching the subject. We're broaching the subject that we want to spend this money, and the taxpayers 100% are going to pay for the bill. There's no shared sacrifice. So a couple questions. And as part of the legislation, I just got out of work. I didn't have a chance to read the resolution. Are we increasing the debt limit? Is that part of the resolution? Is there a question on the ballot to increase the debt limit?
So ask that, are we increasing what? I'm sorry.
The debt limit?
No, it's going out to the General Assembly for a $350 million obligation bond.
Okay.
And it says that the state will reimburse... Sorry about that. It says, subject to approval, the state housing aid and at a reimbursable rate or state share ratio of not less than 45% at time of issuance.
Okay.
An authorization shall be reduced in the amount of certain grants received from the state and from proceeds from the Rhode Island Department of Education and the Rhode Island School Building Authority.
Okay, so I know in February I asked questions, I think it was during the Zoom meeting, about the formula that we figure out how much debt we could do in the city. I don't know if there's someone from the administration, but aren't we going over the legal amount that we can borrow and we need to get some kind of authorization to go over that?
Mr. Shaver?
I didn't bring my copy of the resolution with me, but I'm 99% certain that it was drafted to have an exemption from the statutory debt limit. That's right. How all the bond issues that we've done in recent years are. This councilman can give me, I'll find the language. Section 8 reads, all bonds and notes issued under this act and the debt evidence hereby shall be obligatory on the city in the same manner and the same extent as other debts lawfully contracted by it, and shall be accepted from the operations of 4512(2) and any provisions of the city charter. No such obligation shall at any time be included in the debt of the city for the purpose of ascertaining its borrowing capacity.
It was hard for me to hear that. So are we, is the voters going to authorize going over the debt limit?
Absolutely. Okay. So and that's what all of the bond issues, I think, for the last 15 years have done. It's pretty much standard practice. Whether it's right or wrong, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, but have we authorized going over the debt limit, though, and those other bond offerings?
You're fine. Thank you. You can ask the question. Go ahead.
No, and I was just saying that, what is our debt limit to the chair?
Thank you.
Well, it's the percentage of, and I don't have the numbers in our financial statements. I don't have that number in my head, but it's X percent of your assessed value. But we've had, in all the bond authorizations in recent years, we've had an exception to that, as have most other municipalities in the state.
To the chair, have we ever gone over, because I ran the numbers back in February. I don't have them with me. We're going to be far over our debt limit. So this is actually going to put us over our debt limit, this bond offering, right?
No, because we're exempting us from that. No,
well, you're
that
exempt.
Limit.
Yes. So there's a legal formula that is I guess the General Assembly or somebody in their wisdom came up with that, and we actually have a number we're set at. And you know, and I don't want to get into semantics. To Mr. Schaefer's point, we're going to go over. So that's kind of like, you know, the person that's got, I don't know, $200,000 in credit card debt, and they can open up another credit card. Is that the best thing to do? I don't know. You know, but we're going far over. So another question, I guess, to the chair. When we go out for $350 million in bonds, the voters are going to authorize us going over the debt limit. What does that do for us in the future now? I don't know. We have some kind of catastrophe and we need to go bonding for 20 million or 25 million more. Are we going to get to a point where the credit agencies are going to look at Warwick and say, you got $1 billion in unfunded liabilities, right? You got 300, what's it, what's, do you know what total amount of debt we're going to have on the books after the 350? Is it going to be over 400 million? 450? Can someone answer that?
If you can tell me what gas prices will be next week, that'd be a great
too.
I have no.
But what's the current debt we have right now on the books in general obligation bonds?
So you said that you feel that's over how much? You said
no. I'm wondering what amount do we have right now? Is it I don't know, 50 something million?
158 million.
Okay. Does that include the 56 million of school bonds that we haven't released?
No.
Okay, so 156, released that. Let's put another, that's 200. We're talking about $550 million in debt, right?
We're paying off debt pretty rapidly as well, so that's probably a little high, but it's in the.
All right, so let's knock off 50 million. We're talking about $500 million in new debt on the city, right? Approximately.
We're not issuing 350 million. We're issuing the net amount in terms of our cost, because the state will be reimbursing under the assumptions here 50%.
But to the chair, do we have to borrow the full 350 on the financial books of Warwick?
No.
We don't?
No.
Okay. How much do we have to borrow?
About half of that. About half of 325 million.
Now, why did I just hear someone say we do?
Well, I don't know. I did, but it's my committee. That's
ventriloquist. All right.
Let me make sure that I. We will have to borrow that amount, but 50% of that will be reimbursed by the state, so we won't be paying it.
I know that, but we still have to borrow it, right?
Yes,
okay, absolutely. So that debt amount is on our books.
So if I may, what I was also saying is that it could be like we have to pass this PCR as is. However, it can be the decision of the amount that will be spent, correct? We have bonds that are sitting on the books for 20 years.
Well, I mean, the mayor and I have talked about this fairly frequently. There's been three bites to the apple here. First of all, the council approved in February going for the stage two application.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're considering whether to put it on the ballot.
Yes.
Once it's on the ballot, and let's assume it's approved,
mm-hmm.
then in order to spend the money, you have to pass another act, as we did with the 40 million back. So there's three bites at the apple here.
Okay, so Mr. Chairman, question. We've had bonds that have been sitting open, haven't been released for 10, 20 years, right? Are you going to put a moratorium on this? So let's just say something happens where you're saying, no, we're not going to pass it. We're not going to release this. The voters vote yes on it. I don't think you should have $350 million bonds sitting out there for 5, 10, 20 years on other projects that could be done, because we have bonds like that right now. Is there going to be a moratorium in this legislation where if these schools don't get built on a time frame, then that authorization by the voters gets canceled out?
Like every other item, I'm sure this council will work with the administration and decide from there.
Okay. I mean, can you do that legally?
I will speak with the administration and find from there.
Okay.
Right now, I'm just focused on PCR 67-22 okay. Moving forward. With all due respect, you
one
have about
question.
Another minute. You have about
one,
another minute.
All right, one final question. We're getting to the end of the project. I know Mr. Schaefer put a thing out where 3 years, we do all the bonding for 350. To complete the project, we have cost overruns now, and I'm just making this up now. It goes to 380 million, let's say. Where do we get the other $30 million to complete the school project? Where do we get anything over and above the bonded amount to complete the project?
Those are assumptions that are realistic, but I don't want to make assumptions.
I mean,
on.
Can I ask that to the finance director through the chair?
Absolutely.
To the finance director.
So we're asking what would be the process?
Yes.
Thank you. The question was, what would be the process if it exceeds over time the budget costs or the construction costs or any costs exceed the bonded amount?
Well, you'd have to go back to the voters again for more,
okay.
for more money.
Well, another question. The construction people want their money. This takes a year. Is it possible we could have a supplemental tax increase for 10, 20, 30 million, whatever that amount is, to pay for that bill?
You're asking a hypothetically.
I know, but through the chair, through the finance.
I think anything is possible, but would that be something up to the administration and the council to discuss?
Okay. Just one final.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Cushman. We have other people standing patiently. I'd like to give them an opportunity.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, just.
Mr. Schaefer.
There is the language in here. If you don't do anything for 7 years, you then have the right to extinguish the authority to issue the debt. That's
yes.
In the language of the act. So.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Drew Shaleski. I originally put a statement together, but after hearing what I've been hearing, I did want to just address the board. I'm just a regular person, a taxpayer.
If you don't mind, sir, I'm so sorry.
Oh, sure.
Could you repeat your name, please?
My name is Drew Shaleski. And basically, like I said, I'm just a regular taxpayer. I don't come to these meetings. I don't do this kind of stuff. But I want the board to understand. I'm like a lot of people out here. I had no idea that this $350 million bond impact, way over what the state is offering per square foot, was something that was being considered and at the level it is. Now, maybe I live under a rock. Maybe I don't really pay attention to everything. But what I'm trying to say is I represent a large group of people that have not really been informed properly and really understand what was going on. Hearing things tonight has scared me. I've been a resident for 20 years. My mother is talking about building up here. And I can promise you that if they start discussing supplemental tax increases and so forth, she's not coming. She's in New York right now. She's selling her house. She actually is not building her home right now because of the fact construction costs have went through the roof for this woman to purchase to build a small 1,400 square foot home. The prices have almost doubled. So when I hear these kind of things, it concerns me greatly, but I felt it was much more important that the board understand there are a lot of people out there like me who had no idea what was going on. And what I essentially was looking at was that I'm not saying I necessarily disagree that the schools need to be built, but I think that the elected officials need to work much, much harder at bringing those costs down to a more reasonable number, because you're talking about putting a burden on the taxpayers that could virtually be hundreds of dollars per square foot that we all have to pay for. And basically, I'm asking that the board respectfully decline this bond hearing at this point and not put the cart before the horse. Instead, work with the elected officials in order to try to see if they can get closer to where those state numbers are. The state numbers are there for a reason. And in conclusion, I feel that ceiling number is there for a reason. It protects the taxpayers. It protects the reputation of this county. And at the same time, it puts everybody in a position where people are not going to get priced out. I look at this group here and I say to myself, there are a lot of empty seats here tonight. I can promise you that if there were people who thought that the supplemental increase was going to cost them, say, $1,000, $1,500 a year over the next recurring number of years, I guarantee you this place would be packed with people. People just don't know. And so I'm asking the board to take into consideration the fact that there are a lot of people out there like myself who just don't have all the facts. And putting this before the quote-unquote voters, you're doing a disservice to this really great state, town. I thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, sir. Good evening, Mr. Chairman. Please identify yourself.
Good evening. My name is Dave Testa. I am a Warwick resident for 30 years, taxpayer, school committee member, father of three who put three children through our Warwick schools. I also am the uncle of two nieces who went through North Kingstown High School. And I can tell you that as I would go to their school events and their sporting events and activities, while my kids are in Pilgrim, it was a tale of two cities. It truly was. So I stand here to say that in the RIDE Stage 2, which I have read, on page 190, there was an analysis done from Beta. I think they're in engineering. I didn't type that in. But I'm going to read the quote from, this was Pilgrim, but it was also in the Tollgate document. It says, both Pilgrim High School, a quote, both Pilgrim High School and Tollgate High School are housed in mid-20th century facilities. Physically, they are well-maintained for their age, but are poor on almost every measure of environmental sustainability, equitable access, circulation logic, and systems operation. They are inadequate for current educational programs and woefully inadequate for desired future educational programs. That is where our kids are today. That's got nothing to do with maintenance. That's got to do with the structure itself. Pilgrim is as old as me, and Tollgate was built in, I think, 1970. So I do disagree with Mr. Codian about this is putting the cart before the horse. I think the whole point here is to move this so then we can educate the public. The school department and the city have an obligation and a duty to educate the public so when November rolls around, they can make the best educated decision as possible. And frankly, from personally, I would expect nothing less, at least from the people that I work with. So I'm in favor of this, and I think there's plenty of time for the public to get all of the information. A lot of the information has to come from the city side. The school department doesn't deal with the city's financial side of the budget. But I would also make one last contention, and then I will move on. RIDE is not reimbursing on $551 a foot. The latest total value that RIDE will reimburse on is $314,559,000. That's the reimbursement level that RIDE has established. And we're aiming to get 52.5% of that. So if we're successful, and we expect to be, you're looking at a reimbursement rate of about $165 million. If the schools cost $350 and we get reimbursed at $165, it may sound flippant, and I don't intend it that way, but I'm a lifelong Rhode Islander, and most people who understand the state support of education in this district, very rarely do opportunities come along where you can build two schools and get reimbursed almost fully for the cost of one. That just does not happen very often here. And that's the opportunity that we have. And again, it's incumbent upon us to make sure, assuming a favorable action here, that we educate the voters. I think to not put it before the voters, to insist that the voters aren't capable of making this decision is contemptuous of them. I have more confidence in the voters that they'll make the decision that they deem is in their best interest and after all the information and facts are put out there. Thank you.
Nathan Cornell, member of the Warwick School Committee. I'm here to speak in favor of the school bond. This is the time to do it. Ryan is compensating for at least 45% of the school bond. That might not come again. And also, new schools will bring families back into the city because over the last 20 years, we have had a decline in population, both the city and the schools. And it will certainly continue unless we shift this around. As the superintendent stated earlier, we haven't had a new high school in 50 years. And looking at North Kingstown, people are going to North Kingstown because they have a new school. So I think this is the time to do it. It is a big investment from the city, but I think it's an investment that will pay off and make work more attractive to families so people can come to the school. And in the end, it'll be the voters who will be deciding on this bond. So they could vote against it if they think the tax are too high, that's the prerogative. But if they vote in favor of it, then we'll get new schools. But I definitely think it should go to the voters and make them decide. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening, ma'am. Mrs. Walsh.
Hi, folks. I'm one of the just normal people in the audience here tonight.
Mrs. Walsh, I'm so sorry. If you could identify yourself for the record. Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you just did that for me. Barbara Walsh, Ward 2.
Thank you.
I'm one of those folks that can barely do my checkbook. So when I hear numbers like this, it gets a little scary to me. And what I don't understand is, why do we need to do this now? When the commodity costs are going up sky high, when the interest rates are going up, even the school committee didn't plan to build two new high schools. They planned to rehab two high schools. And RIDE said, no, you won't, because we are not going to let you do that. And so they had to shift their plans. They shifted their plans. But even they didn't support this in the very beginning. They were more reasonable. So what I don't understand is why we need to do this now. Why can't we wait a year or maybe two? And instead, I would rather see everybody in the city focus on proficiency rates. I don't think we have a whole lot to be proud of, to be honest, from the time that I went to Pilgrim many decades ago. It was a really good school system for a while. It doesn't seem to be anymore when you look at the proficiency rates. So if we need to put a lot of money into the schools, I'd rather we start there and get the proficiency rates up and then do new buildings. Just a thought from a normal check-writing citizen who can't do their checkbooks.
Thank you. Good evening, sir. Please identify your name.
Yes, my name is Steve Sullivan. I am from Ward 9. Geez, those prior comments from Mrs. Walsh kind of took away a little bit of what I was talking about there as far as proficiency. Let me tell you what my background is. For over 25 years, I have been a professional project and program manager for Fortune 50 companies. So I do have a background in projects, estimation, et cetera. A number of observations tonight. First and foremost, the RIDE comment that Mrs. Walsh mentioned. I have no faith in RIDE. I can just look at the city of Providence and see what a debacle that has been. To me, that's an example of it. As far as estimates, my concern here, and I am a resident of Warwick probably for 50 years, I went to Tollgate when it first opened 50 years ago, and yeah, I do think it's time for some changes to the school facilities. But as far as the estimates, I do get concerned also about the tax and mostly the inability for anybody to provide any estimates against the tax. I don't understand that whatsoever. Being a program manager, I'm sure that there can be a worst case, best case estimate. We've heard the word assumptions, I don't know, 50 times tonight. Worst case and best case assumptions can always be made with estimates. I've also heard that we went through a whole process, but because of COVID or what other issues that have cropped up, that we did not have those public forum education commentaries that were supposed to occur. I don't personally believe that people are informed enough to make decisions. I think a lot of people, as I might myself too, being a product of the school system in Warwick, tend to act emotionally. Would you like new schools? Absolutely. So a question that I have is, and again, that might be rhetorical, why can't there be worst case, best case tax impacts to people? I don't understand that at all. And the other thing, has there been, and I may be out of touch with how the process occurred, but has there been a point for point curriculum-based justification for these schools? In other words, why do we need to spend this money, and what point for point are these new facilities going to provide? What are the curriculum programs? What are the education programs? As was mentioned, what are we spending this money that is going to lift the proficiency levels? I look at the city of Providence, and it is extremely horrendous as far as proficiency. My understanding from research is that approximately 90% of the students graduating high school in the city of Providence are below the mathematical proficiency level. That's nothing to be certainly proud of. I don't believe that we're there, but my point being is for every dollar we're spending on these facilities, what is it going to return to us? So as far as RIDE saying, no, you can't do certain things, I don't have a lot of faith in what they said they can do. As far as what we're going to spend money on, I don't know what we're going to get in return. I saw the videos that were produced, all nice, extremely nice, gathering spaces, white wall, writing areas, new student lounges. I was also an educator at the college level for 9 years. And I saw this done with certain facilities at a university in Providence. I do not see there any great impact on the educational outcome of the students I taught. So we've got all of those. As far as increases, I can look at major projects in Rhode Island that I used as examples. Can they go over? We talk about $350 million going to $380 million. I saw a project in the state of Rhode Island going from $110 million to approximately $800 million. I don't know that there has been any great recovery of that. I think the product that was delivered still doesn't work right. I saw a DMV system go from $6 million to $40 million, end up in litigation. So these things about prices going up, as far as the career that I was in, they're very real. They're very possible. As a matter of fact, when I look at things like the timing of the project, will it be completed on time for these schools? Will the cost go up? And will the quality of what we get be of the value that we're investing? If you take those three factors and base a project success, and you can do it with the schools, if you base the project success on those, approximately 80% of the projects that are conducted are considered failures. So again, what I have a background in and look at is the failure rate and the possibility for it and the risk of it, which again, there are assumptions, they need to be brought into it. But again, my main point, was there a curriculum-based, or is there a curriculum-based, point-for-point justification of, if we spend this money on these schools, and I'm all in favor of new facilities, but if we spend this money, what is the return going to be in terms of the quality of education and boosting our proficiency levels? So with that, I appreciate the time.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening. Don Fife, Ward 1, and a lifetime Warwick resident. I'm probably the oldest person here. I went to school when Warwick Veterans was the only high school in Warwick. Went to double sessions. At one time, we had 19,000 students in Warwick. How many students do we have in Warwick as of today? Anybody know? Nobody knows?
If you would, the gentleman asked if you would like to give that.
8,800.
The answer was from the superintendent, 8,800 students.
8,800 students.
Thank you, Super.
You want to build two new high schools for 8,800 students. And the property tax will be so outrageous, people are going to leave. And you're going to have less than 8,800 because the property taxes now, we once had 19,000 students, people left. And we'll have less students. And we're going to build two new high schools, and people are going to leave. More people will leave. I'm against this bond. Why haven't the schools been maintained? Why haven't the schools been maintained? Why do they, need to be rebuilt? Why do we need two new ones?
I heard this evening, sir, that the issue is that one's a 60-year-old school and one's a 50-year-old school, the buildings. So the PCR that we're putting forward is to move it to the General Assembly so they can vote on it. And the discussion over the time that we've had this is the buildings do not meet the requirements of a 21st century education, as in technology advancing and the needs of the students and the changing market of the students or network of the students, if you will. We've got to accommodate, but also with the new buildings, they're more energy efficient, or they save the city money in the long run with the new technology.
Why can't we update what we have in these, like Aldridge? Vets used to be a high school, it's now a junior high. Why can't we make it back to a high school? Looks like they put new windows in Aldridge. Why can't we update what we got? There's a lot of empty schools.
There was bonds in the past for that, but this resolution that we're discussing this evening is, and you stated you're against it, is just the vote of this council to forward this to the General Assembly to put it on the ballot so you can vote on it in November. That's what we're discussing this evening.
I'm against this. It's too... And the financial institutions are saying we're going to be in a recession like we have never seen before.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Good evening. Please state your name.
Rebecca Leugnan, Ward 8. I'm opposed to PCR 67-22A. Can you hear me? It's right in my face. All right, I'm opposed to the bond for the two new high schools. I'm a lifelong resident of Warwick. I began my freshman year at Pilgrim High School attending double sessions. I've experienced what the need for new schools is like. I do not believe Warwick is currently in this situation. The economy is not favorable for such a major project such as the one proposed. Construction costs and supply chain interruptions at this time are unfavorable for a project such as this right now. I have put off repair projects at my own home due to the ridiculous quotes I have received when lucky enough to have someone actually come out and price the job. Contractors do not show up or return phone calls. The climate is not favorable for such a project, nor am I willing to pay the tax increase to fund the inflated cost to repay this bond. Maybe in the future, but not right now. I strongly urge the council to deny PCO 67-22A at this time. I'm not against education. I just don't think it's the right time. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Good evening. Please state your name.
Good evening. My name is Jeremy Langell, Ward 5. So I'm supportive. Yes, Jeremy Langell, L-A-N-G-I-L-L. Yeah. Ward 5. I'm supportive of moving this forward to the people for a vote because I think it's the democratic thing to do. I'd also like to just make a couple quick comments that I think the question of whether or not we need new schools is not merely emotional. Rigorous assessments have already been done to determine that need. There's a lot of conversations about proficiency, and I think that if our students are not proficient, and by the way, I have an incoming kindergartner at Warwick Neck, if our students are not proficient, the solution is not to make cuts. You cannot cut your way to growth. You just can't. Finally, public education and our children are more than just a return on investment. They're human beings who are worthy of our investment, period. That's it. End of story. That's what a public education is about. So again, I'm supportive of this resolution that moves this decision to the voters, and thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, sir. Good evening, Ms. Daring. Just identify yourself in the microphone.
Leslie Derrick, Ward 4. I'm here just to tell you that I grew up in a school that was built in 1951, and that school is still in fine shape. It's been maintained through the years. It's a central school, kindergarten through 12th grade. And by the way, over 95% of the kids go on to higher education from there. Many of the kids, while they're in school, also take courses for college, and they also use the internet for further education. But people also attend school. They don't drop out. And this is a school that is in the middle of nowhere. This is the poorest county in the state of New York, in the middle of farmland. We had cows and pigs and chickens behind us. The ball field is right next to a chicken house. I mean, this isn't poor land, and these people are poor people. But we had the best education because we have the best administration, the best superintendent, and we weren't being told by some hierarchy how to have your educational process presented to you. The kids there are phenomenal, and they just keep on building onto the school. It is the most electronic school you could see. I did go there 2 years ago, and I was overwhelmed by how well that school was maintained and added onto. This is a kindergarten through 12 school. You went to the bathroom. It was the same as a senior as it was for a kindergartner. You just squatted because the toilets were so low. But I'm telling you, there is no reason to think that a new building is going, or new technology cannot be done to an old building. My school was definitely there. And the cost of an education in that school and in that community, which was the highest level, was $8,600 a year. But I will also tell you that the teachers were paid well, and they most of them did not want to retire, and the schools loved their teachers. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Madam President.
We're going to have to stop for the 7 o'clock opening of the... I know we got a few minutes left, but we're going to have to take a recess and open up the council meeting, and then we can come back.
Madam President, could we go until 7 o'clock, allow the speaker to speak, and that'll take us right, and then we can begin after the break? Thank you so much. Ma'am?
I'm Mary Jacobs from Ward 9, Ward 8, and, you know, you don't realize that we're going to end up going into a triple depression starting next year, three times worse than 1929. Yeah, I'm for schools and that, but at the same token... At the same token, the price is very high. And then on the radio today that they were supposed to have a meeting tonight for seniors, the way they had it on WPRO radio this morning. And then we're also in the news today, they're aiming for $10 a gallon for cars, $14 a gallon for trucks. How are we going to be able to afford our property tax? In my case, I heard my taxes went up twice, and they said in the Beacon that the taxes weren't going up. So how come I have like a 210 amount on my house? And then another story I heard that that's 315. So is there going to be a tax increase this year, yes or no?
Ma'am, the mill rate, the tax rate stayed the same. There's no tax increase.
So it's going to be the same as I paid last year.
The value of your house went up, but the mill rate per 1,000 stayed the same.
Well, last year, as far as I know, I paid taxes on what we had last year.
Yes, ma'am.
But as far as I know, it went up to 210, and I don't think my house was worth 210 last year.
Yes, ma'am.
So it sounds like I am going to get a tax increase. But we'll see. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
There was no reeval, so it should,
okay,
it should stay.
So I think we have a lot to think about, because I don't think everybody heard about the 1929 Depression, three times worse than 1929 coming next year, and plus all the car and taxes. $10 for cars, for gas, and 14, and that's what the president's aiming on. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any more public speakers? Thank you. Madam President?
Yes.
We're ready to pause the... No. No, it's
yes.
And then we'll come back to the council members on this item.
So the committee will stand at ease for the opening of the council meeting and then return thereafter.